information is the best medicine, especially when it comes from Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille. Here's their show. It's your health, and it ain't rocket science.
Am I gluten sensitive? Is everybody gluten sensitive? Is gluten the evil food substance of the world, or is this just a bunch of hype to get people to buy more expensive, maybe less good tasting bread? Is there a simple way to know if you're gluten insensitive? Can we mythify this in the words of Dr. Holly Lucille? But Dr. Holly Lucille is not here today. She's out teaching, but we have Radio MD's own Melanie Cole here. Melanie, are you gluten intolerant? Are you gluten? I'm going to put you on the line here. I'm going to put you
right on the spot ahead.
Do you live a gluten-free life? Are you gluten intolerant, or do you think it's a bunch of hype? Where are you as a nutritionist and as an interview and as a person who's been in healthcare for, you know, more years than I'm going to admit here? Where do you stand on this gluten issue personally?
Well, you know, as somebody who has studied nutrition and I'm an exercise physiologist, I'll tell you that I myself am not gluten sensitive. I do not sort of buy into it. I know that celiac disease is real. I know that these things that some people are experiencing, wheat allergies and all kinds of things now, are absolutely real. I think that it's also a bit of a way for places like Whole Foods to add aisles of gluten-free foods all over the place. I don't particularly prefer them, but you know, I suppose if I spotted some of the signs and symptoms, maybe I might try it.
Here's what I think. I think it's going to come down to anything else. Some people are going to be sensitive and some people aren't. What we know, Mel, is that the gluten content, that's this protein that's in wheat and corn, that protein has gone up in our food supply over the past few years. The industrialization of food, so we can make it into mass levels, and so your pasta can be al dente every time, easily. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, it was really hard to time pasta. I mean, it was a tough thing. Now, I mean, people's mac and cheese comes out perfect.
Right? Now, do you think they've bulked it up purposely for volume's sake?
Well, it's more of, it's an industry thing, meaning that it's not for volume's sake per se. It's to make it so it's very user-friendly. Like when people wanted al dente pasta, higher gluten content made that easier to cook, easier to time. Also, when they made high gluten flour for bread, it rises much quicker versus, you know, when my in-laws are here from Europe, when they make bread, it takes them like a full day and a half. You know, they do the bread, it rises overnight, that morning they cook it. Now Subway can make a bread like every 20 minutes, and that's all because of gluten. Okay, that allows that to do it. So it's industrial friendly. If you notice, I'm not taking sides here because Subway's pretty good thing for fast food. It's about the best thing that's hit fast food ever. So it's there, but the gluten content has gone up, and there with it, there was a category called celiac disease, which was a genetic intolerance to gluten, now creeps along to sensitivity. A lot of medical doctors will still say this doesn't exist, but a lot of people have. Now, I have a quick quiz. And what I like about this, Mel, is see, there's no lab for this. We can't run your DNA or run a blood test and tell you whether you're gluten intolerant. It's symptoms, pure symptoms of it. And I got to tell you, I am gluten-free personally, and I strongly believe gluten should stay out of people's diets, even if they are not gluten insensitive. I take it to that level. I think gluten is a problem for even the people that don't feel it. So I'm an opposite extreme on that one with you.
So now, but, so what symptoms might we be experiencing even if we're just a little sensitive?
Well, when I was researching this, it's funny because I found all six symptoms that I have. I mean, I am clearly gluten intolerant. When I did the research for this show, let's start with gastrointestinal stuff, gas, bloating, queasiness, abdominal cramping, you know, symptoms of IBS. I gas and bloat. We were talking earlier that soy does this for me. I just don't digest it. When I take in these gluten products, it's like I'm eating foam. It's like a foam cup. It just does not digest with me, and it bloats, and it does these things that I just are miserable for me. Headaches and or migraines. Now, I would get a little headachey, but it's never really been a problem for me. However, I've had a lot of patients who gluten will set off migraines. It is there. You know how you stay away from salad bars, Mel, and sulfites and things like that for migraines? there's a category of people that have migraines that it's the gluten that sends it off. Fibromyalgia, I do believe, is intimately related to gluten intake over time. There's clearly a genetic piece to it, because otherwise, Mel, you would have fibromyalgia, right? Everybody who ate gluten would have fibromyalgia. But I do think it's these people who become sensitive to it that the gluten's an issue. And I'll even take one step further, though. I believe unless these patients are gluten-free, that they will not reverse their fibromyalgia, which is a little different approach.
Wow. I mean, now, when you are gluten-free completely, do mm-hmm. you not experience that gas and bloating or headaches or any of those things? Or do you still get, you know, a little bit of it sometimes?
Only in typical situations, a big protein meal, those kinds of things, but almost never. It's only with gluten and soy products for me. So no, it's clear. And I've been in restaurants where I've ordered like a gluten-free pasta dish and I knew it wasn't gluten-free. I mean, I could tell. My hands swell a little bit. It just doesn't work for me. So that's probably why I'm so passionate about it, because I go through this a little bit as a physician. A couple other things, emotional issues involving chronic irritability and irrational mood shifts. Neurological issues, including dizziness, difficult balancing, peripheral neuropathy, tingling, numbness in extremities, as well as fatigue. Now, for me, those last three, emotional issues, dizziness, are all related to fatigue. So when I eat gluten, it's like I am coming down off a three-day caffeine buzz from studying for finals in med school. I just get tired. And we know that gluten and thyroid have an interaction. It's debated as to exactly, does gluten suppress thyroid, or does it just mess with it, or does it raise up Hashimoto's antibodies, which is the autoimmune thing? We don't really know yet, and there's a lot of different research studies that have gone and talked about this, but gluten absolutely affects thyroid. And one thing about me, Mel, when I look at my labs personally, I'm always borderline hypothyroid. Have been for 10 years. So I think that gluten pushes me over that edge a little bit, and I really kick up those hypothyroid symptoms.
Now, how do you advocate people go completely gluten-free? Are there products that you like in particular? Do you, you know, really, you have to read labels, because it's hidden in a lot of places.
Yeah, it is hidden in a lot of places, and boy, you got to trust companies. Because there's companies that come out with these gluten-free products, and I can taste it as soon as it's in my mouth for a little while that there's gluten in it, and I know that they're lying. You know, you sort of get to know brands. I think that if you go have a quality neighborhood health food store where you get your bread and stuff, that they can really vet these brands. Like, even a Whole Foods is getting so big now that can they really accurately research their brands? You know what I mean? There's so many in there. But I like Udi's, and there's one called, there's a pasta that's called Andean Dream, A-N-D-E-A-N, Dream. And between those two, I get through it. I'm not a big bread eater or pasta eater anyway, but I'll tell you, my wife goes back and forth between regular wheat pasta and a gluten-free pasta, and she thinks it tastes just the same. So she doesn't miss it at all.
Well, I'll have to certainly try some of those. Why don't you wrap it up and give us your best gluten-free lifestyle advice?
Well, my best gluten-free advice is to understand that a little bit of gluten is like a little bit of bee sting or a little bit of nut allergy. You can't just cut it back. It won't help you. So if somebody gets a real big rash or something when they get, or even an anaphylactic reaction, like a throat closing up when they get a bee sting, what they need to understand is if they're gluten sensitive, that they may not feel that throat or get that rash, but their immune system goes into a hyper alert just from that little bit of gluten. The real key with gluten intolerance is to be completely gluten-free. A little bit of poison is still poison. It's death by a thousand cuts instead of one big bite.
Wow, these are great pieces of advice on going completely gluten-free. If you're experiencing any of those symptoms that Dr. Weiss was discussing, maybe that's something you should really try. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. Decker Weiss on It's Your Health and It Ain't Rocket Science, right here on Radio MD.